Should you refinance your mortgage? That's today's show. Let's get into it. Hey, everybody. I was going to say I'm Clayton Morris, but I'm not. I'm Natalie Morris, and this is Clayton Morris. You're listening to the Investing in Real Estate show with Clayton and Natalie Morris. Clayton Morris is a little bit under the weather.
Yeah, I'm sick as a dog right
He's
now. So maybe it's
Kathleen Turner voice.
So you do not want to be me. I know you thought you were going to be me by using my name, but you do not want to be me right
now. That's going to get me nowhere at this point. Today, we want to talk about how to calculate whether or not you should refinance your mortgage. Now, this applies to anyone who owns a home and has a primary home mortgage, but also anyone who's an investor and has a mortgage and they want to rethink that mortgage.
Right. On your rental property.
Right. As we're speaking, mortgage rates are going down. So that gets people thinking, ooh, could I get a better mortgage?
We just saw a Wall Street Journal cover story this morning about interest rates helping out the housing market at an 8-month low. So now might be the time to strike if you want to go out there and get that refinancing.
But we want this video to be evergreen, so you could be listening to it at a time when mortgage rates are increasing, in which case we just want to make sure that you know how to do this calculation. It's pretty simple calculation, but I think a lot of people sort of think in terms of just monthly payment. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, this loan can save me so much per month, and so I want it, which sounds like a great idea, but you have to remember that when you're refinancing your loan, it's the word, the sort of part of it that's doesn't really apply because you're not redoing one loan.
You're getting a whole new
product. Getting a whole new loan. So you're just taking one financial product for another. Right?
Right.
A lot of times people do it with different banks, although a lot of times your own bank could do it, and most of the time they will want to. But it's just, you have to think of it like, okay, let's pretend bank A gave me a mortgage at 5%, but now rates are around 3.5%. So bank B is going to offer to pay off bank A. So you no longer have a relationship with bank A and now be your mortgage lender, bank B, on a new product, right? A lot of times that's great because they're going to look at what's left on the loan from bank A and say, oh, okay, you have $100,000. I'll pay off bank A $100,000. They're out of your life. They don't exist,
right?
Your new relationship is $100,000 mortgage with bank B, right? But what you want to look at is what's your bottom line, because most of the time you don't owe bank A just $100,000. You owe them $100,000 and maybe some fees, maybe an escrow account, whatever, right? So they're going to look at that total payoff, which is you owe them, let's say, $102,000, right? And then they're going to say, now you work for us. Now your relationship, I own you.
Well, that's why we wrote our book, How to Pay Off Your Mortgage in 5 Years. Shameless plug, link below. But we've done this strategy a number of times with our home equity lines and using one financial product to say goodbye to the other financial product.
Right, but we're not talking about home equity line of credit at all today. So take that and put it away. Read the book. But really, we're talking about Bank A and Bank B. The new product is with Bank B.
Right.
And now your $100,000 loan is, instead of 5%, it's at 3.5%. That means your monthly payment is now lower. But most likely, you've got a brand new mortgage that is now 30 years. What if you were 5 years into your relationship with Bank A? Well, now your mortgage is 35 years, right? So we talk about in our book how your number one, your number two, your two main enemies
Interest and time.
So you're now winning the interest game, but you're losing the time game.
You just added 5 years back to your loan.
Now, is it worth it? Maybe, right? Because you do want to pay the lowest amount of money for money, right?
Question.
Yeah.
So now my question is,
now you may ask a question.
When, Natalie, is it worth it to refinance your home? When is it worth it?
Okay. So a general rule of thumb is if you can save 0.75 of a percentage point or one between that and higher, then it will work out, right? Then it's worth doing.
So between 0.75 and 1% of the per month in the APR, then it's worth it.
So let's say you have a 4% interest rate and the bank is offering you 3.25%. Do it, right? Mm-hmm. But here are some caveats. You want to make sure that you're doing it in a home that you're going to stay in long enough to recoup the closing costs, because Bank B is going to say to you, sure, I'll take on that new loan, right? You can now owe me $100,000 at 3.25%, right? Awesome. So let's pretend, and I didn't do a proper amortization schedule on this, but let's pretend you owed Bank A $1,500 a month. That's your mortgage payment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you refinance with Bank B and your new mortgage payment is $1,250 a month. So what are you saving every month? What's $1,500 minus $1,250 is $250.
Okay. Right.
Very good, honey. So you're saving $250 a month. That feels great, right?
But don't be misled by the monthly payment.
But in order to get Bank B to do all the work of paying off Bank A and now doing all the paperwork to become your new mortgage company, they're going to have some closing costs, right? Let's say the closing costs are around $2,500 a month. Mm-hmm. That's cheap, but not overly cheap. So you take that $2,500, not a month, sorry, those are the closing costs. You take those total closing costs. If it's $5,000, use that. But in our example, it's $2,500. So take $2,500, divide it by your monthly savings, which is $250, right? And that ends up to 10 months, right? $2,500 divided by your monthly savings of $250.
Okay.
You will recoup those closing costs in 10 months. So then that seems like a no-brainer. You should do that, right? Because
right.
you know how to tackle your amortization schedule. You've read our book, right? So then obviously you want to save that money. You want to pay less money for money. But what if you plan on moving next year and that number is higher? What if it's going to take you 2 years to recover the closing costs and you want to move next year because, I don't know, you're finishing college or whatever. I couldn't think of a good example. So then you shouldn't do it. So you just have to make sure I will be in this house long enough to recoup that savings.
Today's episode is brought to you by Blinkist. Oh, I love these guys. If you're like me, there's so many great business books out there that you want to read or people suggest that you read all the time. I was on a phone call the other day where someone's like, oh my God, you've got to check out this. You've got to check out this book. You probably just don't have time to read them all. Well, there's an app for that that I highly recommend that will solve this problem for you once and for all. It's called Blinkist. And it has all the famous titles from authors like Gary Vaynerchuk, Tim Ferriss, Seth Godin. Blinkist is the only app that takes the best key takeaways, the need to know information from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down into just 15 minutes so you can read or listen to them. Blinkist is made of busy people just like you who want to get the main points of the books quickly without having to read the entire book. With the audio feature, Blinkist makes it so easy to finish 4 books a day. 8 million people are using Blinkist right now and has a massive and growing library from self-help, business, health to history books. I mean, I like Blinkist because I like to take walks. You know, I like to take walks, and in less than 15 minutes, I feel like I can fast track my path to more intelligence, more informed, more healthy me. I just read a sleep book. I just read The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss again. You know, I read it years ago, and then with Blinkist, I was able to do it again because there's a new revised and updated edition, and I hadn't yet read it. So with Blinkist, I'm able to get all of the new key takeaways in just a few short minutes. You don't need necessarily to read a 400-page book to get the 3 key takeaways from that book. I mean, it's just the truth, right? So check them out right now for a limited time. Blinkist has a special offer for our audience. So go to blinkist.com/investing to start your 7-day free trial. That's Blinkist, B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, blinkist.com/investing to start your free 7-day trial. Blinkist.com/investing. Thanks, Blinkist. So you've lowered your monthly payment. Great, but don't be allured by that because closing costs can be costly. And a lot of times people don't pay attention to those closing costs. And I know in the case of ours, when we did ours, and it was like, what, $8,000 or something? It was like, it was pretty high.
Yeah, but so, we're in New Jersey. We have a lot of different fees. In general, it's most places are not like that.
Yes,
you're in one of those high tax states like we are.
But a lot of times you won't know what the closing costs are until kind of later in your discussions with the bank. So it might put a halt to your entire process. So it'd be helpful to find out what those closing costs are going to shape up to.
They have to tell you, like, around what they're going to be because of the new Truth in Lending Act. They didn't always used to do that.
Right.
So just make sure you need that number as much as you need the new APR number. Those two numbers go hand in hand so that you can calculate what you're going to save. Now, of course, our suggestion to you is to take that extra $250 a month that you're used to paying and now pay that to principal. So you're accelerating the new loan more than you would have been in the old loan,
right?
Of course you want to do that. But there are also other things that you want to look out for as well if you're going to do this. And we're not saying you shouldn't do it. You just want to be equipped with the numbers, right? So here's some things you should look out for if you are going to do this.
Yeah, so make sure there are not some additional and extra costs kind of hidden in the loan that you don't know about. Of course, the closing costs are going to be there, but let's just make sure there's not some other costs. Go line by line. Like, what is this for $500? What is this for $1,000?
Mm-hmm.
These things start to sneak in there. Unless you are paying attention, no one's going to pay attention for you.
Right. You want to make sure that your new principal balance is pretty stinking close to your old principal balance. So sometimes the lender will say, oh, but there's a few points tacked on, like not just the closing costs, but they're charging you points, in which case you've just exchanged $100,000 from bank A to like $110,000 for bank B. Even though your interest payment is lower, your new principal balance is suckier. Don't do that,
right?
You don't want to do that because in general, you're just trying so hard to pay down principal. You don't want to add to your principal.
Number two thing to look out for, you never want there to be a prepayment penalty. Our friend Susan Lasseter-Lyons likes to say, and she's the author of the book Getting the Money, the billion-dollar woman. She likes to say that if there's ever a prepayment penalty, walk away. Because, look, you're trying to pay back this loan more quickly. A bank should want to turn that money around more quickly as well. So if you've signed a 30-year note with somebody and they expect you to pay it over that 30 years, walk away.
Yeah, that sucks. That means that, I don't know.
Well, then that also means that our whole book strategy doesn't work, right?
Right.
Our how to pay off your mortgage in 5 years. Like then that, you know. So the bank is putting up the risk of loaning this money to you. Most of the time, it's very rare that there's a prepayment penalty because they want that money to come back. And if they're making a good chunk of interest.
But for investor loans, it's common. So just make sure you're ready for that kind of thing too. Also, make sure that this does not affect your title insurance. Most of the time, you're going to get new title work on this new product, and that's fine. But you want to ask the question. Just make sure, do I still have title insurance on owning this? I refer you to the episode we did on how to take title and what that even means. But it's good to be aware of. Now, here's a bonus question I have for you, Clayton. If Bank B says to you, sure, I will offer you a new loan. Our closing costs are $2,500. Can I put that on? Would you like to finance the closing costs? What would you say?
I would say no.
No, you should not do that, right? Because now not only, you're not just paying $2,500 for the closing costs. You're paying $2,500 plus the new interest rate, right? So try really hard to pay closing costs out of pocket so that your principal balance from bank A to bank B is the same. You've just got a new lot of money with a more favorable interest rate, but really, really try not to finance those closing costs because that's going to cost you so much more in the end. Don't do it.
Today's episode is brought to you by SimpliSafe. You know, I remember growing up, I remember being scared and terrified when we came home one day and the lights were all on in our house and we had been burglarized. And we were dropping our grandmother off at her house in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and came home and boom, the house was all lit up, windows smashed, stolen my mom's jewelry, money out of my little piggy bank. And so that kind of stayed with me. You know, we all have those fears about our personal property and it feels like you're being violated. Well, guess what? That's where SimpliSafe comes in because there are dozens of words for fear. I'm sure you can think of them all, right? The willies, alarm, panic, but just one for exceptional home security, and that's SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe is a home security that knows it feels good to fear less, right? If you can rely on it, then you're going to fear less. This is award-winning 24/7 protection that protects your home through it all, through blizzards, blackouts, and burglars, like the same ones that plagued me as a kid. SimpliSafe has won awards from all the tech experts that count. The Verge calls it the best home security. It's won Reader's Choice from PC Magazine. It's a two-time winner of CNET Editor's Choice and a Wirecutter top pick. SimpliSafe has no contract, no hidden fees, no gotchas, and they always keep prices fair and honest. Thanks to SimpliSafe, fear has no place in a place like home. And I love it. I mean, super simple to set up, super easy to use on your smartphone. And it's just, it's such a breeze. You know, you think technology sometimes is complicated. No. SimpliSafe is wicked simple. So try SimpliSafe with free shipping and free returns right now. You'll get a 60-day risk-free trial as well, just for listening to this show. Order now and have your home protected within a week. Go to simplysafe.com/investing to get started today. That's simplysafe.com/investing. Be sure to go there so they know we sent you. You have to use that web address, simplysafe.com/investing. Thanks, SimpliSafe. But I've got a great question, because so many of you are probably thinking this right now. What if I've built up some equity in this rental property that I own, right? You bought it for $150, it's now worth $200. Or you bought it for $100, it's now worth $150. Would you want to do a cash out refinance, pull some of that equity out of one property and roll it into another rental property?
So that is an option. The way that works is Bank B will say, oh, your house is worth $200,000, but you owe Bank A $100,000. So how about I loan to you? They usually do 80% or below. Mm-hmm. So they'd give you, let's say, $175,000, right? And so they'll say, now you owe us $100,000. You get to keep that $75,000
as cash.
But your new mortgage is now $175,000 with Bank B, whereas before it was $100,000 with Bank A and you had the equity. Now, what we teach in our Financial Freedom Academy and what we like to tell people is make sure that you're taking that equity and using it to buy a performing asset. Don't take it and buy a boat for leisure.
Right.
Don't take it and, you know, I don't know. Buy something you don't need, right? Buy a performing asset. So if you were then to say, take that money, you're financing $75,000 at the new interest rate, but you can take it and put it in something that makes more than that. Yeah, that makes total sense as long as you're smart about it. I think too many times people do that and then like redo the bathroom, right? So then they've financed the bathroom. That's not a performing asset. I'm not saying don't redo the bathroom, but you got to look hard at those numbers and say, okay, I'm taking this, which was equity, and buying a liability with it. That's not how you build wealth. So
if you're getting a cash flow from $1,000 a month on this one property, go grab another property, right? Now you got another cash flowing property. So that's where you want to use that equity in a cash out refinance situation. We're doing that on one of our properties right now. It's common in the investment world. So if you are thinking about this strategy, it's a fantastic way of being able to leverage some of that equity in your property. All right, that's today's show. Thank you so much for subscribing. If you like today's episode, please give us a good old like, you know, a little fist with a thumbs up. Please do that. It helps. And leave us a comment below. Let us know if you plan on doing this strategy as you move forward to build financial freedom. We'll see you next time, everyone.